Well, you do know that there'll be times in every believer's life when things will go bad. And it won't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how spiritual you are. Bad times are going to hit those who love God. And most of the time, the bad times are going to be caused by other people. The people who will cause us the most difficulty are people who look good and sound convincing. People are smooth talkers who appear to be so caring and so spiritual, but they're neither. These people are alienated from God, His Word. They don't have God's wisdom. They don't know God's will. They will not submit to God's authority. They twist things. They distort things. They deceive people. And we see, once again, from the life of David, that these kinds of attack, these are the ones that wore him down. And the most of them were verbal. In physical confrontations, David would just go one-on-one with his enemy and they'd defeat him. But verbal attacks are much different. Verbal assaults that were going on behind his back were not things that he could fight physically. And there's one thing David could do, and that was to turn to God. And time and again, when people would speak against him, David would speak with God about them. And that's a good thing to learn, because when faithful people of God are being verbally attacked by these smooth-talking, arrogant people, they may always trust God and go to God in prayer and ask God for his help. He's surrounded at this time by a bunch of liars and deceivers. And those who were godly were in the minority, not the majority. And these people moved David to pray and talk to God. And so when we look at this, we see what God wants us to do. And so first of all, David prays and asks God for his help. Look at the first part of verse 12. Actually, it says, to the choir master, according to the Shimoneth, a psalm of David. He says, save, O Lord, for the godly one is gone, for the faithful have vanished from among the children of man. First one he's saying is save or help. David needed God's help, and God wants us to realize that our strength and help come from him. And the war we're in, we're not going to win it if we rely on our own sufficiency. So David asks God for help because at the time, there are no other faithful people to help him. People who recognize that he was the ordained king of God and would respect him and honor him and obey him were far, far away. There are many people who would criticize and attack David, but there weren't too many who would defend him and support him. And it seems by some that David here has that Elijah complex that we saw in 1 Kings chapter 19, where he felt that he was the only faithful man left in the earth. And it's easy to begin to think like that, because when you're surrounded by negative and wicked people, this is what happens. And so, but it could be that what he was dealing with was literally true. He was surrounded by people that he could not trust. David probably was alone, and there were no other godly or faithful men or people who would stand by his side when he wrote this song. And the only person that he could turn to was God. We do learn a very important lesson. Godly, faithful, loyal people are few and far between. Faithful allies are rare. People who love God and his word and love the leadership God puts into power are the minority, not the majority. We cannot but see here what it's going to look like in the future and what it looks like even now as David saw that. And David describes the wicked. We see that in verse 2. He says, everyone utters lies to his neighbor with flattering lips and a double heart they speak. You see, the language here is language that describes almost every politician that's out there, because the goal of the politician, for the most part, is the goal of wicked people a lot of times. The goal of the wicked person is to gain power and control by flattery and lies. And there's two specific things that go on here. The wicked people are skilled in speaking that which is false, and the wicked are skilled in speaking that which is flattering. But this verse is clear to point out that no matter what that person says, it comes from a double heart. Flatterers and liars are not true to their word or commitments. One who is wicked can flatter you to your face and lie to you at the same time, and you would never suspect it. A person with a double heart has no problem saying one thing to your face and another behind your back. In fact, Charles Spurgeon said, a man is far better off to be around lions than liars. J. Vernon McGee says this. He says, "This is a day when Christians need to speak the truth. That is, we should not say one thing to a man's face and another thing when his back is turned. That is double talk. It is being two-faced." So we see that David asked God to cut off the wicked. Wicked people believe they can accomplish anything by their lies and deception. So David says, "God, would you please cut them off?" He wanted God to end all this flattery and arrogant claims because they use their speech in at least three ways. But look at verse 3 for a second. "May the Lord cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that makes great boasts." See, these wicked people, they're big talkers. They want you to know how spiritual they are and how pious they are. They gloat about who they are and how great they are. They are so proud. They say here in verse 4, "Those who say, with our tongue, we will prevail." He had just got done saying, "The tongue that makes great boasts." And so they're saying, "We're going to prevail." They're going to brag about that. Wicked people talk about how they're going to win. They use their speech to try and convince others that they are the ones who are going to prevail. And then they brag about their lordship. He says, "Our lips are with us. Who is master over us?" Wicked people love to talk of how they are in control. No one will ever tell them what to do, so they think. No one is going to lord anything over them. Wicked people have a double-hearted hatred for those in true leadership and those in true authority. They appear to respect it, but the fact is they hate it. These people prefer autonomy, that self-rule, and they prefer anarchy rather than authority. And David saw a lot of these kinds of people as David asked God to cut them all off. And so when we think about the future day when Jesus will come in power, it's just setting the stage for we don't want any authority. They don't want any Lord in their life. Look at verse 5. "Because the poor are plundered, because the needy groan, I will not arise, says the Lord. I will place him, now arise, says the Lord. I will place him in the safety for which he longs." So he received a direct response from God. We don't know how David received that information, but God revealed that he was going to answer David's prayer. God revealed to David that he would arise and he would see to it that these people that are being afflicted would be in a place of safety. And what prompts him to arise? Well, the devastation of the wicked and the petition and groaning of the righteous. When God sees arrogant people demolishing his faithful people, and he sees that his faithful people are crying out for help for him, he will arise and he'll act. In fact, it's clear from the Psalms that one of the things God expects of his people when they find themselves surrounded by trouble is to turn to him in prayer. So that is what God expects of us, and that's what we should do. We should cry out in prayer. We should be people that say, "We need your help." And so he thinks about these certain things on the earth. David thought about God's word. Look at verse 6. "The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver refined in a furnace on the ground, purified seven times." When he was surrounded by trouble, one of the first things that come to his mind is the importance of the word. He found great encouragement and help from God's word. You see, God's word is pure. Every word of God is carefully placed and preserved in his word, and God will always keep his word. There's no question that trouble in life and in the world should drive us to the word of God. So we see David wanted to study the words. David wanted to carefully understand the very words of Scripture. He wanted to know every single word. It isn't just the concepts that are inspired. The words are inspired. David wanted to know every word because this is what gave him stability in a very unstable world. He knew that God guards and keeps his word forever. Look at the first part of verse 7. He says, "You, O Lord, will keep them." And so he's trusting. And that's why we should always take a serious approach to the Scriptures in our church, in our personal life. We have people who want to teach courses on all these different things a lot of times. And it isn't bad to do a topical series every now and then. But we have to be people that stick to the basics of the Word of God. And then he says in verse 7, "You, O Lord, will keep them. You will guard us from this generation forever." See, God will always preserve those who are faithful. And this is very personal. No matter what generation a person lives in, the individual who loves the Word, is faithful to God, will always have God's protection. And we have God's Word on that. And then here's what God thinks about the wicked. On every side the wicked prowl, as vileness is exalted among the children of man. See, they strut around like peacocks, and they're about every side. And when you're faithful, this is what's going to happen. And in other words, if you're faithful to God, you'll discover that you'll always have some vile speaking, double talking, arrogant, evil people around you, drawn to you like a magnet. They're going to try to verbally destroy one faithful with their flattery and their falsehood. So when we find ourselves surrounded by arrogant enemies who are lashing out against us, we need to run to God in prayer. We must be always checking ourselves to see that we are not double-hearted. And we need to purpose in our life to know the meaning of all the words in the Word of God. And we need to always remember that God will always protect His faithful people. And faithfulness to God and His Word will always make us in the minority, not in the majority. So let's not let that throw us.